Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Would you please turn in your Bibles to the second chapter of the book of Galatians? Galatians, the second chapter. A week from today, in fact, a week from right now, will be the last sermon that I'll preach to you for a while. That's an occasion of sadness for us in some ways, but excitement for the new work that we're to begin. It also ought to be bring about some mixed feelings on your part, because as far as I know, our association has been good together for 10 years and a half, 10 years and 5 months, which as far as I know is the longest tenure of any preacher that has been at Kleinwood during the time that it's been in existence. And because of that, I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about what kind of preacher I want you all to have. I know the elders are working on that. And I know that we have two fine gospel preachers that work here with you on a regular basis. Jeff Wilson, who it's been a pleasure to work with, and Brian Orff, that it's also been a pleasure to work with in a different capacity as his teacher and supervisor in his work. But I would like to talk to you a little bit about, and I think I have a right to talk to you about, the kind of preacher that I think would be good for you to get, because I think it can be a very exciting situation for you in the very near future as the elders' search finally comes to fruition. In Galatians, the second chapter, and verse 20, it tells there about something that I think is important for us to understand as we try to live our lives as Christians. It says there in that particular verse, he says, the Apostle Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." Here we see the Apostle Paul saying that what I want to do is to live the kind of life in which Christ lives in me. And I think that's one of the things that I think is especially important about whatever preacher that you get, is you need to have a preacher who Christ is going to be living in. And I believe that that's the kind that the elders have in mind. I believe that's the kind that Jeff and his input has in mind. Someone who is going to allow Christ to live in them in such a way so that that influence will be a great influence to the congregation here. When I think about that kind of example, a particular passage that also the Apostle Paul wrote and gave to the younger preacher Timothy is one that is important, I think, for us to look at least putting together some of the thoughts that I have in terms of what kind of a preacher I would like to see you get, is in the advice that he gives to the younger preacher Timothy. In verse 12 of 1 Timothy 4, we see there the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, that's 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those that believe." Since we're talking about someone who Christ lives in, since we're talking about someone who has a very important responsibility for being an example, I want to talk to you tonight not so much about how old I think the preacher needs to be or how he needs to part his hair, or whether he needs to have a big wide part in the middle of his hair, or how much he needs to weigh, or what kind of a dresser he needs to be. But I think the example that he is one that is very, very important. And here we see some areas that the Apostle Paul talks to the younger preacher Timothy about, areas that are important in which a gospel preacher is exemplary. And I want to talk about each of these areas and talk about what the scripture has to say. And I think if we spend our time with that here for a few minutes this evening, it'd be profitable in helping us know the kind of preacher to look for and the kind of preacher that I believe that the elders and Jeff are looking for. In terms of being an example, first of all, we have to understand that Christ has to be the one that everyone is trying to live like and trying to be like he would have him to be, in such a way that, as it says in the second chapter of the book of Titus in verse 10, he's a person who is not pilfering, not but showing all good faith, so that he will adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in every respect. I wish for you to have a preacher who's the kind of example who adorns the gospel. When you adorn something, you put it on. I adorn this particular coat, or I adorn this particular tie. When I put on something, it will have it will make an impression about how I look. And I think to adorn the gospel of God is a very important thing for preachers to do. To be able to have the gospel as something that is not only something that they can speak about, make presentations about, but the kind of thing that they live, the kind of thing that is part of them in every part of their core, so that people are able to see Christ living in them, so that the gospel is not just something that's said and theoretically forgotten, but something that is said, something that is lived, something that is acted out in their everyday lives. We see them to be an example in speech. And I think speech, of course, is very important. In the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 34, there as we see Jesus himself talking about speech, we see he lets us know something very, very important about it. That's Matthew, the 12th chapter, and verse 34. In verse 34 of chapter 12, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." If we want someone who's going to be an example in speech, we need to recognize that the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. So what someone says is a window to their soul. And it's important, therefore, that you look for someone who has the ability to convey what's in their soul accurately by the things that they say. That their words are carefully chosen. That their words certainly are words that are true. Then gossip doesn't have an important part in their life, that that's something that they shun. But in terms of the proper use of the tongue, we see them being people who know how to use the word of God in the proper way. In James, the third chapter, beginning in verse 3, we see there James talks about the importance of the tongue and says, beginning in verse 3 of James 3, he says, "Now if we put bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well." In fact, you have to be careful with a bit. Make sure you don't give a horse a sore mouth, but you want to just pull gradually so that they can know which direction you want their head to go. Because that bit in their mouth is what's going to determine which way the entire head goes. Look at the ships also, though they're so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Doesn't take a very big rudder on a boat to be able to change the direction ever so slightly in the water so that the boat can eventually turn around. In verse 6, though, it says, in verse 5, also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. What a person says is very, very important. It lets you understand what's going on in their heart. But it also is something that can do a lot of good and it can do a lot of damage. So it's important that we look for someone who has the ability to use their tongue wisely to make sure that in everything that they do those kinds of things that are right with it. In the first two verses of James, the third chapter, though, notice it applies the use of the tongue specifically to teaching. It says, let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Watch what a fellow teaches. Make sure that the whole counsel of God is something that is expressed in the way that someone speaks. There are a lot of people who can make good presentations. There are people who can study speech in such a way so that their ability to be eloquent might be apparent to all. But yet it's important to watch and make sure that the person says the things that are consistent with the Word of God, to say the things that are consistent with the whole counsel of God. Because if they fail in that, then there is going to be a problem with the congregation. And therefore, it's important that in speech, we find someone who can be an example of those that believe. It also says that in conduct, that person needs to be the kind of person that they're supposed to be, an exemplary kind of person. In Philippians, the first chapter, in verse 27, there is the Apostle Paul begins that important letter to this church that he loves and cares about to such an extent. He tells them the importance of their conduct. He tells them, only conduct yourselves, this is verse 27 of Philippians 1, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear of you that you're standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Conduct is important, not only for a gospel preacher, but for an entire congregation, but especially for those who stand before you in important ways, such as elders, such as teachers, such as preachers. They have to be the kind of people who have the kind of conduct that's consistent with what God would have them to be and would have them to do. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, in verse 11, we see also the importance of the right kind of attitude in the way that the person lives. He says, after talking about the idea of judgment, it says, since these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? There's a great day coming, the judgment day coming, and our conduct must be ordered in a way so that we always keep judgment in mind and we make sure that our conduct is consistent with the Word of God that we speak, and that we live, and that we teach before people. I think it's important that you watch how a person behaves, and make sure that their behavior is always consistent with what the Word of God would indicate, that they're people of integrity, that they're people of dependability, that they're people of loyalty, that they're people of fairness. Because in all of these areas, it's important that a person's conduct be such so that people will be able to see Christ living in them as the example we talked about at the very beginning. Not only should a person that you get to be your next preacher be someone who is an example in word and conduct, but also in love. And I think that's a very important thing that we need to keep in mind as well. Do you remember in the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, there in that great chapter of love, he talks about even the determination of spiritual gifts. And in verse 13, he says, "Now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." What kind of person is this person in terms of their attitude toward love? Are they a loving kind of person? Are they the kind of person that has put on love as one of the fruits of the Spirit? Are they the kind of person who shows love in the things that they do? In Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 6, it says, "In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working by love." We very often teach the importance of faith and works working together in the life of the Christian and in our belief system, in the doctrine that we teach before people. But I think in Galatians, the 5th chapter in verse 6, it adds another element that I think is important for all Christians, but especially for gospel preachers, is the fact that they need to be people who are people of love in reference to the deeds that they show. That they're loving people. Because let me tell you, it can get very, very long and it can get very, very difficult to listen to a person over the course of a long period of time who doesn't love you. Someone once made the statement, "People don't care how much you know unless they know how much you care." And I think it's important for people to make sure that indeed they are people who love the Lord, who are people who love the Word of God, and who love the people that they are trying to proclaim the gospel to on a regular basis. Not only those Christians who they address, but also love the lost souls of those who are out there in the world lost. I think it'll show in their concern. It'll show in their assistance. It'll show in the attitude that they have in many different kinds of areas of life. But you know, I think they also need to be people who show that they love the Word of God above all else. In the 4th chapter of the book of Galatians, in verse 16, there we see again the Apostle Paul letting us understand the importance of love of the Word of God. In chapter 4 of the book of Galatians, in verse 16, it says there, "So have I become your enemy by telling you the truth?" The Apostle Paul had to have a very difficult letter to the Galatians, in which he had to chide them for their misbehavior. But yet, he's telling them here, "Have I become your enemy because I've told you the truth?" Sometimes a love of the Word of God means that a person has to step on your toes, has to be the kind of person who loves the Word of God more than he loves the approval of men, and is able to do so in such a way so that even though your toes are stepped on, you have the appreciation for this person because you know their purpose is not because they don't love you. It's because they do love you and they love the Word of God enough to be able to proclaim what you need to hear rather than what you want to hear. In many ways, a gospel preacher is like a physician. And a physician is someone whose purpose is to do what is best for your health, not to tell you what is going to be best for you to hear in reference to your feelings at any given time. I seem to have picked doctors over the years who have absolutely no concern for the fact that I was an overweight person And they said all kinds of things to hurt my feelings. They would say that I was overweight, that I needed to lose this much weight and this much weight and this much weight. I can remember one doctor in particular who was a foreign doctor. He looked at me and in his limited vocabulary, although he was quite trained as a physician, had not been in the country very long, he looked at me and said, "Mr. Pope, your problem is that you are obese." Now, he could have kind of smoothed that out a little bit, couldn't he? No. Well, I think sometimes preachers may not smooth it out quite as much as you would like for them to. But I think it is important for you to have the kind of attitude that loves the Word of God enough so that whether they smooth it out or not, or whether you have to take it and digest it in your heart and in your mind, you love what the Word of God is saying enough so that you appreciate what is being said when you are told the truth by gospel preachers. In the fourth chapter of the book of Ephesians, in verse 15, again, the Apostle Paul emphasizing the importance of loving of the Word of God. He says, again, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he says here, "But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects unto him who is the head, even Christ." I pray that you have a preacher who's able to speak the truth in love, because frankly, I think it's much more effective that way. When people know that you love them, it's easy for you to take that information. But just because a preacher may not say it in the way that you like, don't discard what they say when they love the truth. Hopefully, they'll say it in such a way so that their love for you comes through. But even if it doesn't, make sure that you love the truth well enough so that you'll be able to see what's there, change, and do whatever is necessary to be consistent with the Word of God. Another thing that is important about the kind of preacher that you have that will come along and be working with you sometime in the future is that he's not only an example in word, in conduct, in love, but also in faith. We know that faith is important because without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We're told in Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 6. In 1 John the 5th chapter and verse 4, it again emphasizes the importance of faith by letting us be able to see that whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. What's going to overcome the world and what's going to be able to overcome the difficulties that this congregation faces, that your preacher may have to deal with, is going to be a situation that faith is going to be the answer to. Faith is the victory. Faith is the very means by which we please God, in which we trust that he is and that he rewards those that seek him. And we need to make sure that in everything that we emphasize that as we look for someone as a replacement for this preacher that you have now. In Colossians the 3rd chapter and verse 17, in a well-known passage after he talks about singing and the place that it holds in worship, the Apostle Paul in Colossians the 4th chapter, the 3rd chapter in verse 17, that's Colossians 3 and verse 17, says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." To do something in the name of the Lord means not just saying the name of the Lord over what we do as if it is some sort of an incantation. It means that we do what we do under the Lord's authority, consistent with what the Word of God has to say. And that takes a great deal of faith, because there are times in which Our own will is not one that is that fits with what needs to be done. We need to put our faith in the Lord and recognize that the solutions to the problems that this congregation or any other congregation face come through faith that the Lord will do exactly as He said He would do. You see the importance of faith in our salvation in Romans the 4th chapter, Galatians the 3rd chapter, James the 2nd chapter, and talking about the importance of faith as a system, talking about the importance of faith as it is combined with works in James 2, to be able to accomplish the work that God wants us to do. And it's interesting how that we see Abraham used as the example in every one of these particular passages, so that it shows that here Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him as righteousness in the 15th chapter of the book of Genesis and verse 6. We need to understand that the very thing that made Abraham the father of the faithful is the thing that makes us what we need to be, and will make your next preacher what he needs to be. And that is by being the kind of person who is the kind of person of faith. But faith needs to be active. In the second chapter of the book of James, in verses 14 through 17, we see there that as James talks about working faith, he emphasizes the fact that it can't be something that is just thought. It has to be something that is enacted in the life of every person who is a child of God. In verses 14 through 17 of James 2, it tells us, "Now what use is it, brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what's necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." It's important that in terms of the example of the preachers that you get here, they need to be people who are examples in their active faith, and they do what God would have them to do. You remember we looked at Galatians 5 and verse 6 a few minutes ago. "Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but faith working by love." It has to be a working faith, because unless they have a working faith and only have a theoretical faith, it's not going to be able to have the effect in the preaching that they give you, and it's not going to be able to have its effect in building up this congregation. Finally, we see the Apostle Paul telling the younger preacher Timothy that in word, conduct, love, faith, and purity, he wants him to be an example of those that believe. Purity is very, very important for a gospel preacher, for all Christians really, but especially those who would be put in a position of trust. In the 5th chapter of the book of Matthew, do you remember in the Beatitudes, we see there those that are pure in heart being the ones that will see God, Matthew 5 and verse 8. And we need to make sure that we look for someone who has a pure heart in terms of the way that they live, in terms of the way that they think. In James the 1st chapter in verse 27, do you remember as pure religion is described, it says that pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this. Again, that's James 1 and verse 27. "To visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world." The world is pretty contagious. And we need to recognize that for the person that you look for, you need to have someone who is going to be the kind of person who's not going to be tainted by impurity in thought or deed. They're going to make sure that as they live their lives, they keep their bodies pure. that they make sure that in the things that they do, they don't allow what is off color and what is anything less than the purity that God has a right to expect and that people have a right to expect in the things that they do and the way that they live. Our mind, there, you can find that out by watching someone talk. You remember we saw in the 12th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We need to recognize that if you watch somebody talk, you'll find out pretty quickly what kind of a mind they have. Do they have a mind that is going to be pure? If their mind isn't pure, their body is going to fall in line with what their mind is. And we need to recognize, as this congregation has been able to recognize at times in the distant past, that purity is something that is essential in the gospel preacher and must be something that is emphasized and looked for in every capacity, even to the point of the reputation that someone would be able to bring to this particular congregation. In the fourth chapter of the book of Philippians, in verse 8, again, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." I don't care too much what kind of a preacher that you have. I don't care how old he is. He could be 18 to 88, I suppose. When it comes to the kind of how he looks, I think you have a pretty good chance of having a better looking preacher next time than what you got this time, but I don't particularly care about that. I hope that you're able to get a better one than you were able to get last time in terms of at least 10 years ago. I think you've done a great job with Jeff, and in terms of picking interns, I think we've done a pretty good job here in reference to what we've got here in Brian. But you know, I think there are some things that are very important in terms of the character of that person. And while we see the Apostle Paul talking about someone who was young here and not letting anyone have occasion to look down on their youthfulness, I think the things that are talked about are things that are important for all preachers to be able to possess. To have that exemplary quality that's going to make them the kind of person so that you can be imitators of them as they follow Christ, as it says in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter in verse 1. So that in speech and conduct and love, faith and purity, they're examples of those that believe rather than people who need examples for themselves to follow. I don't know exactly who you will get, but my hope and prayer is that he'll be the kind of person who will be the kind of person with these exemplary qualities, and that this congregation can continue to grow and strive. And as this person works with Jeff and maybe with Brian, we'll be able to have a congregation that continues to stand for the truth, continues to build up its members, continues to hold up the truth in this area, and is one that is able to benefit everyone in this community by being a shining light in this community so that people can be attracted to the Word of God through the things that are said and through the things that are done. And no taint of anything that is not exemplary would come in and foul up what has gone on here and the good work that's been done under the elders for some time. I thank you for allowing me to have a little bit of time to talk about the kind of preacher that I think that you ought to have. But I think you'll also notice that most of the things that we've talked about are characteristics not just of a good preacher, but characteristics that all Christians should possess. If you are here and not a child of God, we want to encourage you to develop these qualities in your life But there's something you have to do first, and that is to make things right with God by coming in faith tonight, by repenting of the things that you've done that are wrong, by confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We can baptize you into Christ this evening, and you can leave this place washed in the blood of the Lamb. If you, as a child of God, haven't lived an exemplary life as you should have, then you need to correct whatever stands between you and God, because your example in the areas that we've talked about is essential for you being able to be the kind of person who's going to be able to be a shining light in this community for the Lord. Think about these things, not only in reference to the kind of preacher that you get, but in terms of the kind of life that you live. And if there's any way that we can help anyone make things right with the Lord this evening, we'd invite you to come while we stand and sing.